Hello, I am Dr. Boom and this is Sonic Boom Radio. Today we have something a little different. Chaz Lawther is a radio documentary maker who produces comedic works. Chaz covers all sorts of topics and today's show focuses on marijuana. So sit back and laugh with Chaz Lawther on Sonic Boom Radio.
Last summer, that was our theme song here in Canada. A court ruling found that the law prohibiting possession of small amounts of marijuana was unconstitutional, which meant that Canadians, who weren't allowed to smoke before, were now free to do so. Sure enough, the country went wacky. People lounged in cafes, sucking on hookahs and bongs. Traffic slowed to a crawl as all sense of time and motion became distorted. And 7-Elevens across the nation were stripped clean of potato chips and chocolate bars. When the lights went out here in the east, the population was so ripped, no one had the wherewithal to loot and pillage. People simply got off their couches and moved outside. Toronto be of porch potatoes. Well, one night that summer, I found myself sitting outside, getting lost in my thoughts. It struck me how lucky I was to have a porch. Porches are private spaces, yet public at the same time. Sometimes they're covered, sometimes they're not. What better way to enter a house than from a porch? I thought, wow, porches are amazing things. I should do a stand-up documentary about them. I could ask all my friends to tell me funny stories about their porches. As I was trying to think of some good porch songs, another great idea popped into my head. I would do a stand-up documentary about marijuana. I could ask my friends to tell me funny stories about being stoned. Those always make me laugh. Then, to my horror, the Supreme Court ruled that the laws were still in place. So before writing a word, I sought legal advice. I spoke to Paul Burstein, the lawyer who launched the first significant constitutional challenge to the prohibition of marijuana.
What would be the ramifications, legal ramifications, of me doing a radio show and saying I have used marijuana for 30 years and I still do?
Realistically, I think nothing. Technically, you know, if I were a prosecutor and I really had it in for you, I suppose I could get a copy of the tape. I could have you charged and tender your tape as a confession. But I would almost like to see you prosecuted and convicted, because the day that they said guilty to you would be the day that I lay my private information charging any number of politicians in Canada who have similarly made that admission. As I say, if they want to set a precedent, I'll be there paying the fine for you.
Okay. Well, that was reassuring, but I couldn't help wonder, if so many politicians have admitted to breaking the law, how valid can it be? Does anybody think the possession of marijuana should be a criminal offense? I took a random sampling of two people and asked if they thought it should be legal to smoke pot.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, we used to say, okay, what if the pilot flying your plane is high? How do you feel then? How do you feel if the pilot flying your plane with your children and the dog in the crate below is high on pot flying your plane? And I think, well, he won't smoke pot when he's flying the plane. He'll smoke pot afterwards when he's with the stewardess in the hotel and they're having fun, the kind of fun that I never have. The pilot stewardess smoking pot in the hotel fun. That's when he'll smoke pot, and then he'll go to sleep and he'll wake up and he'll fly the plane the next day. So he won't be smoking pot on the plane. Or if he does, he's just that really bad pilot who, if he doesn't have pot, he'll be doing something else.
I don't find it being legal or illegal makes any difference whatsoever. I never worry about getting busted. I can't imagine anyone would, you know, get a middle-aged woman like me in trouble for smoking pot. Like, I, frankly, I don't take it very seriously, the fact that it's not legal.
Well, aside from the 600,000 people in this country who have a criminal record for possession, the current laws seem to have little impact on the occasional recreational use of marijuana. Maybe the illegality is part of its appeal. For aging baby boomers, having a toke now and then might be the last vestige of youthful rebellion, a reminder that at the core, you're still an outlaw. Of course, being an outlaw, you have to come up with creative ways to disguise your activities so as not to tip off non-users or the fuzz. I asked a few fellow outlaws to tell me what code they used to describe the weed.
Parent helper, happy medicine, fun medicine.
Yeah, blast a cone or doobies or isms is also another one.
Goofer. First, it became known as goofbutt a number of years ago, and then that has kind of contracted itself to goofer. And it's goofer generically, and also, shall we have a goofer?
Oh, baby. Yeah, let's make a trip to Dr. Johnson. See if Dr. Johnson can make a house call. If you needed to consult him in any way, he is available this evening by appointment only.
I refer to it as a little something. It's my pet name. And sometimes I actually confuse it because I am just saying a little something. And people go, you mean a little something? And I go, no, not a little something, just a little something.
I'm just mad about saffron. Now saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow.
When Mellow Yellow came out in 1966, a lot of people thought it was a cryptic song about smoking marijuana. Others knew the truth. It was a cryptic song about smoking banana peels. Now, I hadn't tried marijuana at that point. I'd heard a lot about it, and I was very curious, but I was also very nervous about doing something illegal. Getting high on banana peels seemed like the perfect alternative. So my friend and I headed out to the grocery store and bought 20 pounds of bananas. We wanted to stock up before the narcs caught on and banned the fruit. We scraped the white pulp from the inside of the peel and baked it to release the potent banadine. Then we rolled the dried black mush into papers and smoked about 15 banana peel cigarettes. I don't know what went wrong. Maybe we baked it too long? Maybe they were government-grown bananas. But neither of us felt any lingering effect except a kind of a nausea. Of course, then we were stuck with pounds of bananas, which we couldn't put in the trash for fear of looking suspicious, so we lived on banana bread for the next month. I realized then that if I wanted the experience of being high, I'd have to cross over the line and become a person who experimented with marijuana. I asked friends about their first attempt to get high.
I remember nothing. I don't know if I knew. I didn't smoke cigarettes at the time, so I didn't know if I was inhaling properly. You know, maybe I probably even pretended I thought I was high. But the first time was nothing. It wasn't anything memorable. That I remember.
I think I spent a year smoking oregano, probably. We sort of like knew like one badass kid from the wrong side of the tracks. And we would go and we would buy it and we'd sit in a little alleyway. And he would roll us these little tiny joints and tell us, oh, you're not going to feel it the first few times, you know. So we'd sit and we smoke and we're like, do you feel it? And we're like, no, not yet. And we probably did that like 6 or 7 times until finally, I think it was like my older sister, you know, looked at what we were smoking and was like, the hell are you doing? That's oregano.
I think I was in the bathroom at my mother's house with one of my friends from school, and she pulled it out and we smoked it in the bathroom, and then opened the window and tried to get the smoke out of the window. That's pretty much all I remember. I certainly don't remember any effect.
I did like it the first time. It was so new to me. I did like it the first time. I was so young, you see. I used to run away from the stuff, but now somehow I can't get enough. I did like it the first time. Oh, how it grew on me.
Well, that's one of the funny things about marijuana. If it doesn't work the first time, or the second, or the third, people just keep on trying. I guess it takes practice, because eventually you'll get the desired effect.
My boyfriend and I went to have dinner with friends of his, and they were very proper. They had real furniture, and they had real jobs, and they passed around this stuff, and I took it because I didn't want to make a deal of not smoking, and so I went, well, it doesn't affect me, and famous last words, I started to have this grin across my face. Like, I mean, stretched like the Joker, right? Like, painful, rictus grin with my lips pulled back, and I could not stop. I could not stop smiling.
We all took hits of the pot, and then I remember we were listening to, I can't remember what it was, but it was one of the early Beatles songs from, I think, the Revolver album or one of those things. You know, and I sat back and I shut my eyes, and it was like I was seeing almost like it was animated. It became animated. The music became animated, and I was seeing like a cartoon. You know, it was amazing, which actually later on when I saw Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, I thought, that's it. These guys get the same kind of, you know, with their Yellow Submarine and everything. I got it. And you know, it was like, it was revelatory. It was revelatory.
When I was in my early 20s, I got a job working at a crisis telephone line. One of my coworkers was Vernon, a Rastafarian from Etobicoke. Now, he was a few years older than me, and once he found out that I loved music, he took it upon himself to educate me about reggae. Every couple of days, he'd bring in something new for me to listen to, something that he'd just got in from Jamaica. Well, I loved the music. I really loved it, but most of the lyrics were completely unintelligible to me. I had no idea what the songs were about. One day, after work, Vernon invited me to his suburban apartment to sip the pipe and listen to some of his music. Well, I met his wife and his four kids, and then Vernon and I retired to his special smoking room. There was nothing in it except a turntable and the largest speakers I have ever seen in my life. They looked like boxcars. Well, Vernon produced the herb, and I made myself a small, elegant joint, while he proceeded to roll up a spliff the size of a leg of lamb. As the THC started to work into my system, Vernon put on a record, and the first note slid into my brain and down my spine. I understood why there were no chairs in the room. The music defied you to do anything but get up, stand up, and move to it. The song that was playing was one I'd heard before, but the impact was totally new. I wasn't listening to the music. I was the music. And though I still couldn't understand the lyrics, all of a sudden, they made perfect sense. I wanted to share this insight with Vernon, but he disappeared into a ball of smoke. I don't think I could have said much anyway. Those bass notes would have knocked my words out of the air like soap bubbles. I do remember chanting, "Praise Jah, Rastafari," and really meaning it. This was no sitting around with the guys getting the giggles. This was a religious experience. Well, eventually, I came down enough to take my leave with whatever senses remained, turning down Vernon's invitation to share another spliff. I emerged into the sunshine of the suburban street. I looked around me and I thought, Etobicoke. Wow. Marijuana can help you appreciate music, art, or nature in a whole new way. Many people use it as a creative tool. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I remember one night doing, I had an art project at school, it was a university. It was an art project through my theater class, and I had to go home and do a self-portrait. So I sat in front of the mirror, and I got really wrecked, and I did a self-portrait in charcoal. And the next morning, I looked at it, and it was brilliant. I mean, it really was. I almost changed my major. That's how good it was.
I made an entire feature film stoned once, which was a really bad idea. We shot it on film, and we shot it with an old 16mm camera, and so we shoot, you know, all this lovely film, and we were so happy, and we have it, and we bring it back, and realize we shot the entire film out of sync. So it took us 4 years of non-stoned editing to figure out how to get that. And the other problem was that the film fundamentally made no sense. So we also spent 4 years putting in a lot of dream sequences to explain large gaps in the storyline.
I don't think it's ultimately best to judge things or to go into an entire project in a stoner way. I really don't. But in this one circumstance, that was what was happening. And I have a relationship to Hamlet. I tell you, I would just lie on the floor backstage, because I was Ophelia, you know, and you're really not on that much. And I would just listen to those words. And I do think that a couple of my best performances were stoned, but you know, maybe the audience wouldn't think that.
It's not easy to explain a marijuana high to someone who's never experienced it. Of course, everyone responds differently, but generally speaking, marijuana puts you in a state of slightly altered consciousness. It's like entering a familiar room through a different door. I thought I might get a better understanding of its effects if I conducted a clinical study. I chose as my subject a middle-aged woman, a very young-looking middle-aged woman, to whom I married. The first part of the experiment tested cognitive ability whilst under the influence.
Now, you don't smoke marijuana that frequently?
No, not at all. Now, at this age, no.
Okay, we want to be honest here. So let's be honest right from the start. You don't smoke marijuana that much now.
Right, that's what I meant, not at all frequently.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions. And first of all, what goes into making up a petite madeleine?
Eggs, oil, sugar, something else, I don't know, some liqueur perhaps. Next.
No, I'll run the session, okay? I'll run the session. What is the square root of 81?
I can't do math.
20?
10? I don't know.
Who won the second Survivor show?
Tina Wesson.
So, the subject's cognitive ability remained the same. Weak in math, strong in pop culture. The second part of the experiment was designed to observe how the stoned brain functioned on a subjective level.
Okay, Gail, how do you feel the experiment's going so far?
I'm the subject. I'm supposed to comment? Okay. I feel the experiment is very valuable so far. And do you have any more questions?
Well, how do you feel about it?
Feel. Okay. What I feel is that I don't want to be answering questions right now about how I feel about this experiment, and I don't want to be answering any more of your Trivial Pursuit questions, because how I feel right now is that my mind does not want to be directed by you. I would rather it be directed totally by me. I'd rather be doing something else than this experiment.
What would you rather be doing?
You know, what I'd really like to do right now is watch Survivor All-Stars. But it's not on for a few days.
Well, the results of my scientific study were quite informative. I concluded that smoking pot in the middle of the afternoon allows a person to avoid activity that is in any way productive.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out.
I came across a startling statistic from a Canadian survey. About 1.7 million Canadians admit to occasional marijuana use, and 70% of those were between the ages of 15 and 24. I was shocked to learn that I was in such a minority. That means basically that the only older people who use marijuana are me and a bunch of politicians. I have a feeling, though, that those figures are about to change. You'd be surprised by the number of people who've approached me since word of this show got out. It seems that they smoked marijuana in their youth and are eager to try it again. They wondered if I might be able to direct them to a source. Of course, I have no idea where to get it, but I do offer up this cautionary tale.
I hadn't even touched it in 15 years. I went to a pleasant evening out with some friends, and the joint came by, and so I decided I'd sample it, and somebody should have told me, you know, that they've strengthened that stuff. At one point I knew things were going wrong when I was having a conversation with a man a few years older than I, and he was describing how he had broken his arm in two or three places, and I started falling in love with him. And I couldn't quite figure out why that would be. But he just seemed so nice. And then I managed to drag myself out onto the veranda, where I spent the next 45 minutes pretty sure that I was going to fall off, which I didn't. And then I managed to drag myself down the street, and to my embarrassment, I crossed paths with my 14-year-old daughter, who said, "You've been drinking." And I said, "I might have had one or two too many."
So my friend didn't correct his daughter and say, "No, dear, I'm high on pot." Of course not. Smoking pot is illegal. What I found interesting is that every parent I spoke to, even those who don't use marijuana, said that if their teenagers were to experiment, they'd rather it be with pot than booze. Now, it goes without saying most parents would prefer their kids stay away from everything. Then again, most parents I know were teenagers once themselves. So this creates a conundrum. What do you say to your kids? My approach has been to write a radio show about my personal use, tape a segment where I get my wife stoned, and then perform the whole thing with my teenage sons sitting in the studio audience. This may not work for everyone. It might not work for me. Of course, you want your kids to know that, like any potent substance, marijuana does have negative effects. I'm sure that taking smoke into your lungs isn't good for you. And it's been said that marijuana is a gateway drug, which is true. It can lead to eating trans fats and watching bad television, two very harmful activities. However, the most dangerous aspect of marijuana use is that it's an illegal activity. This has created a booming underground criminal business with no controls. The dealer in the park isn't going to turn down the kid in grade 7 because he's underage. I want marijuana legalized so that it'll be harder for my kids to get their hands on. The use of marijuana is a pastime suitable for adults. And once in a while, it's kind of fun.
I find that marijuana is a very conducive for lovemaking or for affection of any kind. Even between guys, you know. I mean, I find after having a joint with a bunch of guys on a hike or whatever, we always give each other a big hug. I mean, there really is. There's love and affection there.
You know, I find it a very pleasant experience at this point in my life. There's a lightheartedness I find when I smoke now.
you know, it's just so much fun. And I think that makes it profound. You know, we always used to talk about the grand cosmic joke. You know, you see the grand cosmic joke. And if that qualifies as insight, then I guess you do get it. But it is certainly fun.
Just vital man must have my fun. I've never said it can't be done. The people are talking, but I don't care. I'm 21, far from done. I've just begun.
I've been working on a set of guidelines that might help the Canadian government in dealing with the issues concerning marijuana. First of all, for children under the age of 15, I suggest a strategy I call lying. We tell young people that marijuana is bad, we don't use it, and we don't know anyone who does. For those between 15 and 24, I'd adopt a policy of hypocrisy. For them, marijuana would be illegal, even though we know they're going to try it. From there, we move on to a policy of complex hypocrisy or decriminalization. For those between the ages of 24 and 65, you'd be allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana, but it would be illegal to purchase or to grow it. That will be left to the people over 65, who will be allowed to smoke freely and will be encouraged to cultivate the herb. Who better to grow and tend marijuana plants than retirees with some time on their hands? And just think of how our senior citizens will benefit from these new income opportunities. I think, by and large, I've devised an excellent plan. I came up with it last night while I was sitting on my porch, getting lost in my thoughts. Wow. Porches are amazing things.
That was documentary maker and comedy writer Chaz Lothar and his observations on marijuana, recorded in front of a live audience in Toronto. Thanks for joining us today on Sonic Boom Radio. Please stay tuned to this station for more great music and programming. If you want to write to us, we would love to read your comments or anything you have to say about our show. Write to us, sonicboomradio@yahoo.com. For a list of everything we play, please visit the website www.geocities.com/sonicboomradio. I'm Dr. Boom. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.